This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Monday, September 6th. It's a holiday, but we work. We work wherever I am. If I'm breathing, I will try to do my best to produce a podcast, and we have a whopper of a podcast today for you. Starting the week, because the NFL season starts Thursday, we thought we'd just bring the thunder. Matthew Berry, fantasy football bonanza. We had Evan Silva last week, a lot of good stuff. Matthew Berry disagrees with some of the stuff Silva had said. They are on opposite sides on Saquon Barkley. I think you guys are going to like it. A solid 25 to 30 minutes of Matthew Berry answering random questions about fantasy football. If you are a Chargers fan, you will very much be interested in what he has to say. He likes my Baker Mayfield. He likes something I said about Joe Burrow. Barry's a good guy, good dude, answers all the questions, doesn't really shy away from contact. He's not one of those pile inspectors like Antonio Cromartie who doesn't want to tackle. Barry will get into it. And we go have some back and forth and disagreement. That's healthy. So you guys will really enjoy that. But before we get to Matthew Berry, couple of notes. Obviously, we'll recap some college football shenanigans from over the weekend. It was a really good betting weekend for me. I screwed up on this pod on Friday, and you know, it's funny. I even opened by saying we had Preston on last week, and he said BYU Arizona under makes sense. I don't know much about BYU and Arizona, but Preston's plugged in the BYU community since he is Mormon, and follows the program closely, and went to school in the state, and like, there's a lot of times. I bet the under. I listened to the podcast. I said over. I'm an idiot. I hope you guys didn't take that. But overall, just a monster. I think my best opening weekend gambling ever in college football. Everything went right, basically, except Wisconsin. They just totally shat the bed against Penn State. Just a gutless effort from Wisconsin. That being said, can we fast forward to the Notre Dame game? And yes, we will get back to Rob G doing a victory lap for his UCLA Bruins, who I mentioned. Sprinkle some on the money line. Rob G was in attendance. I think he was sitting in the high class seat, so he didn't witness any fights or brawls. We'll get to that in a second. We just need to quickly, Notre Dame, Florida State, Sunday night. So I had a fantasy draft. I'm out to dinner with the family, and I'm peeking at the score. There's a Notre Dame grad who I've talked about that on this pod. I text with. He had actually said he thought the line was a little too high. I had wanted to bet Notre Dame, so of course I'm like, I'll back off. Notre Dame's up 38-20, and I'm kicking myself for not betting it. I stop watching, I focus on the fantasy draft, and of course, my family and dinner. You know, we get home from dinner, starting to get ready to, look at all the college football box scores, because Sunday night, that's when I, like, go over NFL. Saturday night, I usually do college football, but this weekend, no NFL, so I push it to Sunday night. I start to look at the box scores. The first one that jumps out is Notre Dame in overtime. What? They almost collapsed? I couldn't believe it. They blow an 18-point fourth quarter lead and need overtime to win. But that's not even the big story. Not even the kid Melton coming back from that grotesque injury he suffered 2 years ago. The real story is in the interview on the field after the game, Brian Kelly jokingly, but in his dry 55-year-old sense of humor, he might be 60, I don't know, said, you know, execution, we could not execute at all. Maybe my team should need to be executed or something along those lines. And of course, as social media is wont to do, everybody flipped out because that's where you get outraged. And you don't even really need to care about Notre Dame or Brian Kelly or the line, but because you're on social media and you can just get ticked off, that's what everybody did. How could Brian Kelly do? Someone died at Notre Dame on his watch a few years ago. Like, it's predictable. This is what people do. They want heads, they want scalps, and everybody wants Brian Kelly to apologize. In the post game, that's like the first question, okay? It's a real good game. Crazy comeback by FSU. Notre Dame's transfer quarterback, the kid Jack Cohn, looked awesome. 4 TDs, 360 yards or whatever. Awesome performance. One of the first questions, Coach Kelly, you said on the field after the game your team should be executed. Like, really? He's like, I was joking. Like, obviously I don't want to execute my team. It's a joke. And the people just don't get it. And this is why, I don't know if you guys have noticed, I'm way less on social media. There's just no win there. It's a waste of time. Now, Instagram is really fun because there's way less outrage. It's more like fun, cool, exciting. Twitter is just like a bunch of angry losers just looking to vent about something. If it's not Brian Kelly, it's going to be some police officer. It's going to be the pancakes they had. It's going to be traffic, whatever. Somebody's going to get angry about something, and that's where they go to vent. Relax, everybody. Okay? Notre Dame won. Brian Kelly was kidding. Let's move on. By the way, Notre Dame's defense did not look good in the fourth quarter. We know they had a new defensive coordinator because their DC left to coach, I believe, Vanderbilt. And they got shredded defensively. The kid, though, I will point out, Hamilton had an incredible interception. The amount of ground he covered, that's just a guy to file away top 15 pick in next year's draft. All right. Rob G., you were in attendance at the Rose Bowl. I'm assuming you were cooking in the, 97-degree heat?
Oh, it was warm. It was warm out there. I'm not going to lie. But I will say really quickly on Brian Kelly. Number one, there's a reason why Bill Belichick doesn't really make jokes at his press conference because, you know, not everyone can deliver it, you know, and not everybody gets that same benefit of the doubt. If Lane Kiffin makes that joke, no problem because, you know, he's kind of a tongue-in-cheek guy as it is. Brian Kelly is kind of gruff, so when he says something like that, it just doesn't really land the same way. And number two, like you mentioned, when your school has a history of a student dying while filming your college football practice, maybe stay away from jokes like that to begin with. It's like when I was at the UCLA-LSU game. I wasn't going to be like, hey, here comes that a Bruins hurricane rolling through Louisiana. No, that's just not appropriate. You know, just pace yourself sometimes.
I tend to like inappropriate. And I'll never forget, I actually pulled this article out when I read it about Joan Rivers. Were you ever a fan of her work, Rob G?
I know who she is. I can't say I'm a fan of hers, though.
She died a few years back, but she was a comedian and she would say some of the brashest stuff ever. There was this famous woman, Liz Taylor. She had like eight husbands. Your mom probably knows her.
Yeah. Didn't she have like 12 facelifts too?
Something like that? 15, something
okay,
like that.
Yeah. All right.
But Joan Rivers at like the height of Elizabeth Taylor, she said, what's Liz Taylor's blood type? Ragu? Because, you know, she started eating and got a little heavy. And like Joan Rivers just like, that's a joke. It's funny. Laugh. It's okay. And I know some people are going to be outraged, like, oh, how could you say that? And then there was
Adele.
Who's dating Rich Paul. Adele. When I say Estelle. Adele. And Joan Rivers would say, like, what is she talking about rolling in the deep? You know, she's rolling in the deep fried or something. She made, like, all these inappropriate jokes. And it's like, okay, that's funny. Like, you know, what? Brian Kelly made a joke, Rob. Really?
No, I have no issue with guys making jokes. I personally wasn't offended by it, but there's certain people that you can tell just because of their personality that their jokes just aren't going to land. And it's like, if you're going to make a joke like that, you're probably not the right guy to do it.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, your UCLA Bruins with the big win, Chip Kelly on fire, Ed Orgeron probably in some trouble by the end of the season. Any overriding thoughts? Was it more of a run game? Was it the quarterback? Was it Chip Kelly? Is it just LSU stunk?
Oh, let me just say, my brother, who I went to the game with, before the game started, I said, look, man, when they line up the LSU front seven on both sides or their offensive line, defensive lines, they're just so much bigger than us. So I would be shocked if we're able to control the line of scrimmage in any kind of way. And for whatever reason, LSU became this finesse team ever since the Joe Burrow era. And UCLA, with their undersized offensive line, they only played one defensive tackle the whole game. Most of it was defensive ends and linebackers for the speed. And they were just mauling them up front, both sides of the ball. I was shocked. Yeah. It was prototypical Chip Kelly, where it was, for all of their spread and their, you know, high-octane offense, they're predominantly a running team. And that's exactly what UCLA did. They ran the ball down their throats. And it was exciting to watch, I got to say. It was great.
Yeah, if you remember, Brock Heward was on here, and he was like, "There's, you just don't push around SEC teams." And I don't know, that five seniors for UC or five returning starters for UCLA, their offensive line is one of their strengths. LSU's got a bunch of like seniors, grad students, but they weren't the typical five-star guys that LSU gets. And yeah, they, at point of contact, they just lost that battle. So UCLA, listen, they're going to be plucky this year. And the way Oregon looked very shaky, barely escaping Fresno, Oregon probably looking ahead to Ohio State. You just have to wonder, I mean, could UCLA maybe steal the Pac-12? I mean, it's early for this, but that's a great win, and Oregon has Ohio State. If you guys saw the number, it came out, they're 13.5-point dogs for their trip to Columbus this week. But then again, season openers, you can't read too much into it. Oklahoma nearly lost to Tulane. But you can read into Alabama just absolutely murdering Miami. Can I say that? Murdering Miami?
a lot of murders in Miami. Too soon.
I mean, listen, if you guys didn't load up on that, the under hit, Alabama covered, like, they're just a juggernaut, okay? I mean, they just, Miami's not even that bad. Rob G, I will bet you that Miami comes out and finishes probably top 15, 16 in the country. And by November, it's like, oh, Miami's kind of good. They're 8-3. And then it's like, what, just the class level is just so different. Alabama's in a class to itself. I don't know how they're going to come close to losing a game this year, man. I just don't. This team is so good. There's just so much talent everywhere. Like, you watch a couple plays, you're like, okay, they're stronger, faster. This is not going to be a contest. I don't know, man. I thought it was a good weekend overall in college football outside of the gambling, which was tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was a tough weekend as a whole for the Pac-12 and the ACC, though. I will say that. I mean, like you said, Miami might win 8 games, but I don't necessarily think they're that great from what I saw. I mean, I know Alabama, the worst thing you can do when you're facing Alabama is make them your season opener. Because you give Nick Saban 1 week, he's very good. You give him a bye week, he's great. You give him a bowl time, he's fantastic. You give him an entire offseason to prep for what you're going to do, and it's a done deal. Everybody that they do those big, neutral site games with against USC or whoever you might expect, they just blow the doors off of them in these opening round games. And you know, Alabama, not only do they have the five-star athletes, but they're just really well coached too, which is so much different than what you see a lot of these other teams.
Clemson, Georgia was kind of a rock fight. I mean, 10-3. Listen, Georgia got the upset. We called it here on this pod. That being said, they didn't look overly impressive.
No,
it was almost like
impressed.
Clemson, right? You can't walk away from that like, well, Georgia's one of the two best teams in it. Like, you can't have watched Alabama, Miami, and then watched Georgia, Clemson, and thought Georgia's on the level of Alabama. I don't think so, right?
No. You can say that their defense, absolutely. You know, same thing with Clemson. Clemson's defense looked great too. But if your only score is a pick six, like, how much confidence can you have that you're going against Alabama? You're not going to shut down Alabama. You got to score with them a little bit too. And if you couldn't put up any kind of offense against Clemson, what are you going to do against Alabama?
So Clemson had 23 carries for 2 yards. I mean, their quarterback, negative 22 rushing yards. Listen, they lost ETN, they lost one of the receivers, they lost the quarterback, obviously. DJ, I'm not going to try to say his last name, is good. He did not have a good game, but this Georgia defense is good. JT Daniels, who I think will be the number one pick in the draft, passed for $135. That's not exactly how you want to get the season started. But then again, Sam Howell, the UNC quarterback, who some people are touting, was way worse than JT Daniels. He was terrible for UNC in the loss to the Hokies. At any rate, just a quick early look ahead. Okay, I know you guys like the college football podcast with the gambling. Obviously, we'll be bringing that back for week two. There will be a lot of NFL, but the marquee games this week, Oregon, Ohio State, is an excellent game. Should be good. I guess the second best matchup, Iowa, Iowa State. Iowa State did not look good in the opener. Iowa did. I kind of lean toward Iowa. It's early. It's early. And then the other one to keep an eye on, Texas, Arkansas. Arkansas actually looked good. Texas looked very good. And I do kind of wonder why that line is only 6. It feels a little low to me. I must be missing something, so I'll dig into it. So there's your college football recap. Listen, this is a monster week. It's going to be fun. Tell all your friends, subscribe, rate, and review. The pod's going to be off the hook this week. Without further ado, let's get to Matthew Berry of ESPN.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
Let's welcome into Straight Fire the man, the myth, the legend. He is basically, I mean, listen, if you want to credit him with starting fantasy football and making it with the juggernaut that it is, go for it. He's Matthew Berry. of ESPN. Matt, how are you? Superstar?
I'm good, my friend. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good. I was ribbing you a little before we started recording about your Instagram flex being in a fantasy league with Jay-Z and Chris Paul. I am curious, who is easier to get a trade over on in fantasy, Jay-Z or Chris Paul?
Yeah, look, I would say neither. Both are really sharp. Listen, the league's been together for a long, long time. Everyone knows each other very, very well. It's definitely, it's one of those things where it's just like, there's a lot of trades, but in terms of getting one over on somebody, absolutely not.
No,
like it's, because here's the thing about guys like that, specifically Jay and Paul and CP, but everyone in that league, they're all insanely connected. Like there's like Chris Paul drafted Kyler Murray as his fantasy quarterback, right? This year he drafted Kyler Murray. He put that on a Twitter. I'm not breaking any secrets there. He put that on Twitter, but I remember I said to him, I said, Kyler, cause he took Kyler a little earlier than I thought. And I said, Kyler really? And then I was like, oh, right. Arizona, of course you got to draft Kyler. And he's like,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
he goes, I just texted him and told him I took him on my fantasy team. And I'm like, but that's the point, right? Like there's not an athlete in the NFL that Jay-Z can't get a hold of, that Chris Paul can't get a hold of, that the guys in that league. I mean, again, like some of them may not be known to the general public. Those are the two most famous guys in the league, but like, believe me, the people that know, like Steve Stout, United Masters translation, you know, you think about Jesse Itzler, co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks. You think about Mike Kaiser, president of Atlanta Records. You think about Irv Gotti, the legend Irv Gotti and Murder, Inc. You think about Kevin Lyles, also a legend, you know, ran Def Jam. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all in their own way. Juan Perez, who runs Rock Nation Sports. Like, I mean, they're all legends, every single one of them. And so, and they're all insanely well connected.
Mm.
So I'm the least connected person that week.
Ah, please give me a break. Here's the funniest part.
In that picture, I'm the least connected person.
Okay, fair, that's fair. But I will say, you know, Matthew, there's an interesting thing in fantasy now. I have people, you know, people know that I work at Fox and I got a podcast and I'm working at Fox talking to NFL people. And they're always asking me, hey, what do you think about this guy in fantasy? And I'm like, you know, I saw this list had this guy. And I'm like, my first thing, Matthew, and you can feel free to disagree, is like, if you go to where everybody else is getting fantasy info, you're just getting what everyone else is getting. You're not getting anything unique or different. How do you separate yourself from the masses who are writing about fantasy football? Like, how do you, because everybody's going to say, oh yeah, you got to go Christian McCaffrey, bounce back, Saquon Barkley, blah, blah, blah. How do you separate yourself and differentiate yourself?
Yeah, it's tough, by the way. And that's one of the criticisms I hear of me sometimes, is that because I'm on ESPN, we're the number one fantasy football platform, and I have a large following. I'm very blessed in that. And that people were like, well, I want to fade Matthew because everyone in my league, you know, half the guys in my league are using Matthew Berry's ranking. So let me go elsewhere, which is, by the way, one of the reasons why I started rotopass.com, I'll throw in a shout out there, which is a collection of premium fantasy football websites that may not be as well known, that aren't as well known as ESPN. Right. And so, but it's really good stuff and stuff that I use and stuff that I personally have called and recommended. So, a collection of six sites, including ESPN Plus, Football Guys, RotoWire, RotoViz, Sharp Football Analysis, Roster Watch. It's a great collection of websites. And so what I try to do is just sort of ignore it. You know what I mean? I sort of feel like that if you sit there and try to do your analysis from, okay, let me try to be different, well, then you're screwing yourself and you're screwing the people that are listening to you. I just try to do the analysis that is the analysis. I know there's going to be a lot of eyes on whatever I say and whatever I write.
Yeah.
Just have to try to be as genuine as possible. Mm-hmm. Just do the research, talk to everyone I can, watch the film, study the stats, you know, and make a call. So like you just said, everyone knows the obvious, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. I'm out on Saquon this year.
Interesting.
I'm out on Saquon this year. Hear this, Jason. Okay. So Saquon Barkley, I don't know where he's going on other platforms, but on ESPN, Saquon Barkley is being drafted top five overall. He's going as running back five and he's going top five overall. This is a guy that we don't know if he's going to play week one or not.
Right.
If he does, he might be limited with snaps. Okay. They're playing Denver. That's a tough matchup.
Bad matchup.
Right. And then you think about a couple other things. does he have the explosiveness coming back from the ACL and an MCL and a meniscus? Like, you know, that was a serious injury for Saquon Barkley. Coming back from that, does he immediately, Jason, get the explosiveness that he had previously? Remember all those big plays that he would break off, right? And that'll come back at some point, but does it come back this year or next year? I mean, think about Dalvin Cook off of his ACL. Look at, if you go back and watch Dalvin Cook the first year off of his ACL versus the second year, like, there's a difference. Mm. He had a different gear, you know, in the second year off of his ACL, which was last year. He was great last year, right? And so the reason I say about the burst is, if you go back and look at it, in every game in Saquon Barkley's career in which he has not had a 25-yard or more carry, like, he hasn't had one big run of 25 yards or more, he averages 3.3 yards per carry.
Oof. Yeah.
Jason, everyone forgets this because he was injured for so much of last year because the Giants were so bad last year. But the two games in which Saquon Barkley was healthy before he got injured last year, he had 34 rushing yards on 19 carries.
Mm.
34
That's for not 19. Ideal. Yeah. Well, their line stinks. Yeah. Their line's awful. Yeah.
Their line is awful. That's the, and like, I don't blame the 34 for 19 on him necessarily. I think it's the line, but like, the line is still a question mark.
Yeah.
And so to use a top five pick on a guy that there's some question marks about, look, is he insanely talented? Yes. Is he eventually going to get a massive workload? Of course he is. Right. But like, I'm as a high second rounder, I'm at running back 9.
Oh.
And he's going fifth overall.
So a write-in question from my son, who's picking 7th in a 14-team draft, fifth grader. Saquon will probably be on the table at 7. Do you take him at 14 teams? Like, you can't whiff on your first and second round pick at 14. I'm sure you played some 14-team leagues.
He's going by my rankings. I would not. I will tell you how I have them ranked. I have it. McCaffrey, obviously. I have Dalvin Cook at 2. I have Kamara at 3. Derrick Henry 4. Zeke at 5. And if you wanted to flop Zeke and Derrick Henry, I don't mind.
What about fading Derrick Henry? Like, I know it's the whole case of 370 carries and led the league back-to-back years. I personally don't like Henry at all this year. New offensive coordinator. I have some questions about how that offense could work this year. Or a new offense with no Arthur Smith, sorry.
Yeah, but I think they're going to run the same playbook. You know, the offense coordinator has been on the staff. It's not a brand new guy.
Right.
You know, they promoted a guy from within. They're going to run basically the same plays. The concerns on Derrick Henry, as you mentioned, the workload. He's had a massive workload each of the last 2 years. And history has not been kind to running backs that have had that kind of massive workload. He also doesn't catch passes. So most leagues that play either half point or full point PPR, ESPN standard scoring is full point PPR, he doesn't catch passes. So he needs double-digit touchdowns, you know, to justify that kind of a ranking spot. In fact, he needs like 12, 14, 16 is the kind of touchdown equity he needs. But I guess my argument, my pro Derrick Henry argument is that guy's built different. That guy's built different than any other human on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I met him once and I took a picture with him. And Jason, it's on my Instagram somewhere. Like I took a picture with him. And Jason, you and I have met. You and I have met in person. We've seen each other at various parties and what have you. So, like, you know that, like, I'm not a small guy. I'm 6 foot. I'm between 190 and 200 pounds. So it's not like I'm massive, but like, I'm not a small guy. I'm 6 foot, call it 195. I look like a peanut next to him.
Yeah, I know.
Took this photo with him and I was like, good Lord. I knew you were big, but I didn't realize you were. Wow. Like, so I think he's just built differently. And I also think the addition of Julio Jones makes he sees less loaded boxes. Honestly, like, you've got AJ Brown and Julio Jones there. You've got to pay attention to those guys.
Yeah.
Defensively. But I think you see some left loaded boxes. So I'm in on Henry. There are definitely people that are fading him. So I certainly get the argument. But to answer your son's question, so those are my top five guys.
Is Nick Chubb 6?
No. Austin Eckler is 6 for me.
Ahead of Chubb?
Ahead of Chubb.
Why is that?
Austin Eckler is my fantasy ride or die this year.
Ooh.
My fantasy football ride or die. Which I've had a pretty good track record with. Last year I didn't, but this year, but generally speaking, I have a pretty good track record with my ride or dies previous to this. And so I have Eckler at 6, Kelce at 7, Davante Adams at 8.
All these guys ahead of Nick Chubb?
Aaron what am I Jones missing on Chubb? Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb doesn't catch passes. I love Nick Chubb.
Mm, they put in a hunt to Nick catch Chubb. All the passes.
But again, he doesn't catch passes.
Huh.
And so, again, like, it's so important to have, you know, to have we always talk about this in business, right? You want multiple revenue streams, right? Yes. You know, right? Multiple revenue streams. Well, in fantasy, sort of the same thing. You want multiple ways to get fantasy points. You want yardage. You mm-hmm. want touchdowns. And ideally, with your running backs, you want receptions. Again, are there exceptions to rule, like Derrick Henry, who, you know, legitimately has a chance to score 20 touchdowns? Yes. You know, especially in a 17-game season. But generally speaking, you want your running backs to score points as many ways as possible. Jones, I think, is involved more in the passing game this year with Jamal Williams down in Detroit and A.J. Dillon as backup. I don't think they're going to use A.J. Dillon in the passing game this year as much as they used Jamal Williams previously. Mm-hmm. So I think an increase in Aaron Jones's passing game usage, where he's still the alpha dog. They paid him. Like, they like A.J. Dillon. I have A.J. Dillon as a sleeper. I love A.J. Dillon in later drafts. But, you know, Aaron Jones was a free agent, and they brought him back, and they paid him. You know, like, he's the guy, and with Rodgers back in town, that's going to be a very good offense.
I wonder, though, three offensive linemen down in week one, two via free agency, and then Bakhtiari. Any concern Jones maybe starts a little slow, or do they just produce offensive linemen the way the Midwest does?
Yeah, I mean, listen, losing David Bakhtiari is not ideal, right? Yeah. He's among the best in the NFL, if not the best. But my expectation is that Rodgers is such a threat. And they're so creative in play calling. And again, because he's, you know, like, do I think he might start slow in terms of the between the tackle numbers? Mm-hmm. Sure. But in terms of, like, okay, so they split him out wide, they get him some screen passes, you know, they do some pitch outs, they do some bootlegs, you know, and some option stuff. I think Aaron Jones will ultimately be fine. Aaron Rodgers is going to have another monster year. Like, he's angry.
Let me push back on Eckler for a sec. I just looked at the stats. So he had 3 touchdowns last year total. Now, he was dinged up. Is he going to get all the goal line carries? Do we know this?
We don't. And that's the argument against him.
Okay.
So you say your argument, Jason, me, is just like, the dude only got 3 touchdowns last year.
I didn't realize it was that low. Right. But the year before, he had 8 receiving touchdowns. Yeah.
And he had 11 total the year before. So my argument back to you, Jason, is like, you say, like, guy only had 3 touchdowns last year. And I say to you, like, dude, he only had 3 touchdowns last year. Like, he got touchdowns are fluky. He got unlucky. Again, the year previously, he got 11. Mike Clay, who does a great job for us here at ESPN, invented a stat called OTD, which is, you know, opportunity adjusted touchdown. I won't go into the nerdiness of it, but in essence, what this stat does is basically judge a player's touchdown opportunity. And then you judge that touchdown opportunity versus what they actually did. And you can use the metric, and it's done well over a number of years, of predicting who's more likely to score more touchdowns or less touchdowns going into a year because they either got unlucky or really lucky. Like, a guy that's going to regress in terms of touchdowns this year is Robert Tonyan, speaking of the Packers.
Oh, no, Robert I got Tonyan, him in a league. Damn it.
Robert Tonyan had 11 touchdowns last year, which was among the league leaders among tight ends. He was 22nd among tight ends in targets. 22nd. Like, he didn't get a lot of targets, but when he did, they were in the end zone. Now you've got Randall Cobb there. My expectation here is that Robert Tonyan regresses. Like, he's not going to score 11 touchdowns again. And if he doesn't score 11 touchdowns again, he's not the same fantasy guy because he's not getting as many receptions or yards. Like, you know, I believe in the history of the NFL, or certainly at least the last 20 years, there's only been 3 tight ends that have scored double-digit touchdowns back-to-back years.
Wow. Okay. That's not a good move by me getting Tonyan in an auction league.
Who do you think they are? Can you guess who they are?
I'll go Tony Gonzalez.
Nope. Close.
The tight end on the Chargers, who was there forever.
Antonio Gates, but not him.
No.
Think more recent.
Oh, Kelsey.
No.
Kittle? Kittle?
No. Gronk? What? I'm going to give it to you. Gronk.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham.
Damn, that's elite company.
And goodness. And Julius Thomas, the 2 years he was with Peyton Manning in Denver. So, like, unless you think he's in that elite company, I think, you know, it's unlikely. My point is it's very hard to repeat double-digit touchdowns in general for a tight end in today's NFL. And it's really hard when you think about what little target share he gets. Like, those two guys, especially, Graham and Gronk, got a ton of targets. So I think Tonyan regresses. My point is that touchdowns are fluky, and you can sort of look at opportunity. Again, little opportunity of Tonyan, he capitalized on it a bit, he's going to regress. Austin Eckler, in the 9 healthy games that he had last year, averaged 18.6 fantasy. He averaged 18.6 touches a game.
Jeez, yeah. So now, is that, like, how much of that is Anthony Lynn? Workload. Yeah.
Here's the argument on Eckler. Massive workload. And since the start of 2019, Austin Eckler is first in fantasy points per touch. Jeez. So in terms of, like, he's really productive. Number 2 is Alvin Kamara. Number 3 is Christian McCaffrey. In that particular stat, since 2019, fantasy points per touch. When Austin Eckler gets touches, he produces. And last year, he got really unlucky with the touchdowns. The health didn't help either, right? But now you think about new offense coordinator Joe Lombardi comes over from the Saints. And I got to give credit to this. Eckler did an interview with Adam Schefter on Schefty's pod. And he's asking about his role in the offense and what does he see about Lombardi's offense. And Eckler was... It's a long answer, so I'll paraphrase it. But in essence, he basically says, I love the offense. It's very similar. And he goes, and listen, you know how they use Alvin Kamara in New Orleans? And Adam's like, yeah. He goes, I'm Kamara.
Well, Kamara's going to get all the touches in New Orleans.
I mean, that's what I'm saying here, Jason. So I'm just saying, by the way, the Chargers improved their offensive line.
Yes.
I think they did, you know, significantly improve their offensive line. It was one of the worst in the NFL last year. I think that also contributed to his lack of touchdowns. Mm. So, you know, listen, I think new coaching staff, he's a really versatile player. All the underlying metrics are there for Eckler, hyper efficient. He's been very productive when he gets work. He's going to get a ton of work this year. Yeah, I'm all in on Austin Eckler. I have him 6 overall, running back 6. He's my fantasy football ride or die, which means he's obviously not a sleeper. You know, he's a known commodity, but I have him at 6. Just I name my ride or die because it's like every draft I can, I'm coming out with him. I'm coming out of the draft with Eckler. Again, I'm at 6 overall. He's going at 14 overall on ESPN, and he's going – it's basically someone mid to late second round on most sites. And again, I'm in the upper half of the first
upper
round.
Half. Okay. I guess a strategy question. So you're let's say you're in a 12 or 14-team league, and you say, I'm just going to load up on running backs and wide receivers, and I'll wait for quarterback late. Baker Mayfield is projected most of these leagues like a middle-tier quarterback. But if you look at the schedule, Matthew, they have one of the easier schedules in the league. So my strategy was I'll swoop in late and get Baker. And guess what? If he's gone, I feel like Joe Burrow could be a great late round pick because Matthew, their defense is horrible. They're going to hemorrhage points and he's going to have to be chucking the entire second half. He's going to put up monster stats. Yeah, there'll be picks, but I feel like Burrow or Baker late. Now the converse would be, well, you got to face the Ravens and Steelers twice. I don't know. Any thoughts on that strategy waiting on a quarterback?
So twofold. Let me talk about those two players specifically, and then I'll get into the strategy. So first off, I like Baker. I like Baker as a sleeper. He was actually very good over the second half of last year. I want to say, they really turned it around. The weird part on Baker, by the way, I mean, this is super weird. He got better when OBJ went out. It's the weirdest stat. It's one of the weirdest stats in sports, but like he has been more productive NFL-wise and fantasy-wise without Odell Beckham Jr. than with him on the field. So we'll see. But week 12 on last year, he was the 7th best quarterback in fantasy. Baker Mayfield was.
Wow.
From week 12 on last year, he was the 7th best quarterback in fantasy. It's a good schedule. Obviously, talented playmakers around him. Very good offensive line and a run game. Like, what does Stefanski do really well, right? Sets up play action.
Play action,
which is what Baker's really good at. And obviously, when you've got Chubb and Hunt like that, you're going to have to respect the run game. So I like Baker as a late round guy. I do think he has a good year. To your point about Joe Burrow, at the time of his injury last year, Joe Burrow led the NFL in pass attempts. He was chucking it close to 50 times a game. Burrow was unbelievable in terms of volume. Second year in the league, adds Jamar Chase. Defense still isn't very good. I agree with you. They're going to have to throw a lot. The concern on Burrow and Mayfield, and it's a slight one, but as we talked earlier in the show, listen, multiple revenue streams, right? We want multiple ways to get fantasy points. To me, it's so crucial, if you can, to get a quarterback that gets you points with not only their arm, but also their leg, which is why Mayfield and Burrow, and Burrow's actually being drafted ahead of Mayfield, at least on ESPN. That's why those guys are going later is because they don't run. And last year, of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks, 8 of them had at least 200 yards rushing. And that doesn't include Dak Prescott, who would have qualified had he not got hurt. That doesn't include Jalen Hurts, who would have qualified if he played more than four games. Jalen Hurts was the ninth best quarterback in fantasy over the final four games last year.
Yeah.
Jason was the ninth best quarterback in fantasy. Think about
that's a little silly, though. Come on.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Is Jalen Hurts the starting quarterback by Halloween for Philly, or did they just trade for Gardner Minshew because they're going to start Gardner Minshew at some point?
Have you watched Gardner Minshew play? Like, it's a fun story, and the hair must stop it. Yes.
You like Hurts, huh?
Love Hurts. I have him QB9.
But wow.
Jason, go back and if you go look at my I put this in my love hate column, which is, by the way, free to read on ESPN.com.
Great. It's so great. I read it every week. Yes, indeed.
Appreciate it. So the preseason love hate is out on ESPN.com, and I did a comparison. I did two quarterbacks, and I just showed you the stats, right? Mm-hmm. I showed you the passing yards, their rushing yards per game, their fantasy points per game, completion percent, blah, blah, blah. I did a comparison of two players. And the two players that I compared was Jalen Hurts, the four games that he started, and Lamar Jackson's final four games that he started as a rookie in 2018. Now, remember, Lamar Jackson got, like, I want to say, like, seven or eight games when he took over Flacco in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts only got four games. By the way, Jalen Hurts got four games in a situation in which the front office is fighting with the head coaching staff. Like, it's all, there's a lot of chaos and disarray in Philadelphia with Peterson now on his way out and, you know, not getting along with Roseman, blah, 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 blah. Plus everyone was injured. You know, who his starting wide receivers were? Jalen Hurts' first NFL start. His starting wide receivers were Jalen Reagor, who was playing in his eighth NFL game ever. He'd missed most of the year with an injury. And former AAF superstar Greg Ward.
Greg Ward, the college quarterback. Yeah.
Houston Cougars, right. Former college quarterback, former AAF San Antonio Commodore, Greg Ward. Like, that's who this guy had, who they threw him out there with. And the critics of Jalen Hurts are like, well, the guy only completed 52% of his passes in those four games.
But it doesn't matter in fantasy.
Two things. Number one, it doesn't matter in fantasy because of his rushing yards, right? He had at least 60 yards of rushing touchdown in all four games. Again, he was the ninth best quarterback in fantasy, both total points and points per game, those final four games. But also, by the way, you know who else had a rookie? He had a completion percentage of 52% his rookie year? Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson was like at 56% or 58%. Okay. But both guys. The other thing is that 25% of Hurts' throws in that four games were 15 or yards more downfield, which obviously hurts your completion percentage when you're taking, longer throws downfield. Anyway, the point is that if you look at the numbers of Jalen Hurts' only four games that he played in his rookie year and Lamar Jackson's final four games of his rookie year, Hurts actually compares favorably to Jackson in almost every category.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is going to come out and win the MVP, which is what Lamar Jackson did the next year. I'm not saying he's going to be the fantasy MVP, which is what Lamar Jackson did. But what I am saying is that quarterback nine, he's an insane value. He's currently going like a quarterback 12 or 13. I'm at QB nine. Absolutely love Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni, when they didn't draft a quarterback, because they had a chance. They had a chance to draft a quarterback. The Eagles did.
And
they
Fields, right? Yeah. They could have got Fields, Mac Jones, right?
Yeah, they were at six. They were at six and they traded back to 12, I believe. I believe I have that right. That's off the top of my head. But yeah, they were at six and they traded with Miami back to 12. And then I think maybe they moved up or whatever they moved back up to 10 to get Devonta Smith, but they were in the mix. They easily could have had Fields or Mac Jones, right? Or tried to move up into the top three and they didn't. Nick Sirianni and his staff were hired with the idea of like, try to make Jalen Hurts work. And if he doesn't work this year, then they will go out next year, I think. But I don't believe Gardner Minshew or Joe Flacco or any of the guys on their roster are a threat to Jalen Hurts. I think he is the starter for the Eagles, and I think he performs very, very well, especially in fantasy.
All right, we'll finish up with some wide receivers. Is it me or are the arrow pointing up for all Carolina receivers? Joe Brady, year two. He's got a real quarterback in Darnold. No disrespect to Teddy B. I like Robbie Anderson a lot. Are you on board with that or no?
I am. I like Sam Darnold as a late. By the way, if you're in a two quarterback league, deeper league, I like Sam Darnold too.
Yeah, easy schedule.
Easy schedule, getting away from Adam Gase, and by the way, insanely talented pass catchers, as you mentioned, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall, the rookie from LSU, having a great camp. And oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield is always a threat to take a dump off and then run it 70 yards into the end zone. Right. And then you get credit for a 70-yard touchdown pass, even though CMC did most of the work. So, yeah, I like Darnold. By the way, they have a tight end there named Dan Arnold. I like Dan Arnold as sort of a late round tight end flyer as well. So I'm in on that, and I'm definitely in on Robbie Anderson, certainly at cost. He's being sort of disrespected somewhat in fantasy drafts.
Any rookie that we need to consider targeting? I don't know about Ja'Marr Chase. Honestly, he's going undrafted in some of my 10-team leagues.
That's fine. I'm shocked to hear that he's going undrafted. He should be drafted. He should be drafted in every league.
Ahead of Tyler Boyd?
No. Okay, so on ESPN, it goes, for a while, it was Chase, Higgins, Boyd.
Higgins?
Yeah.
So Higgins, TDs, awesome. TDs.
Higgins is awesome. No, Higgins is a great receiver. He's going to have a really good year. I love T. Higgins this year. I think all three guys should be drafted. And look, I think Ja'Marr Chase, I think because of, you know, some high profile drops, there's been some, you know, his stock has dropped, but this is, you know, as good a wide receiver prospect as that has come into the NFL in the last decade. Right. So, and there's going to be a lot of volume there. Obviously played college ball with Joe Burrow. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be fine with Ja'Marr Chase. I think Devonta Smith is really interesting just because again, we sort of think about last year, Justin Jefferson, super talented. But one of the things that happened with Justin Jefferson is, as we always say in fantasy success comes from two things, talent and opportunity. We knew Justin Jefferson was talented, and then he got the opportunity. Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo. He's all of a sudden the starting wide receiver next to Adam Thielen, and that those two guys are the only two guys they had, right? I mean, so he got tons of volume last year, and obviously the defense was bad in Minnesota, which helped, so they got into some shootouts. So Devonta Smith, same thing. Like, again, all due respect to Travis Fulgham and you know, Greg Ward. Like, there's not a lot of competition in Philadelphia. Like, he's going to be a starter. Like, he could easily get a 20-plus or more target share right out of the gate. So, Devonta Smith among wide receivers, really interesting. I'm a homer, so just I'll give you a deeper pick, which is, you know, I'm really excited about Dyami Brown out of North Carolina, who's third-round pick for Washington. I think the Washington football team is going to be a really good offense this year.
Really?
People call me a homer, but yes, I do.
Fitzpatrick?
Fitz is going to be awesome.
Oh, my. Well, now that's a spicy take right there. I don't see it. I see some major regression. Schedule's very tough.
It certainly is. It's a top three defense. They're going to get the ball in good field position. That's a team that won the NFC East last year. Yes. Was it bad and they only did it on seven games? Yes, of course. But they did it with – Here were the starting quarterbacks that the Washington football team offense had.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers backup Dwayne Haskins, Washington football team third stringer Kyle Allen, and my new ESPN colleague Alex Smith.
You were going to say the kid who started the playoff game who looked like Matt Saracen out there from Friday night. No, what's his name again?
Taylor Heineke. Yeah. And
did he make the roster?
Oh, yeah. They signed him to a – they brought him back. He's the backup to Fitz.
Oh, my goodness.
He's the number two.
That's a lot of faith in Washington.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has in his career supported the last 3 years that he's had at least 12 games. He's had a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. So McLaurin's going to have a monster year. I'll tell you that believe it or not, Washington was a very pass happy team last year. It was a lot of dink and dunk. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dink and dunk, but they were. I think Scott Turner is a very good and creative offensive mind. And look at what they did in the offseason. So you've got Terry McLaurin, super fast. Logan Thomas, they signed to a big deal. He's going to have a monster year.
Yeah.
They brought him back, signed him to a deal. I mean, he runs a 4.6 40. He's 6'6", 250. He
former
runs a
quarterback. 40. Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Exactly. Logan Thomas can run. They add Curtis Samuel, super fast. They draft Dyami Brown out of North Carolina super fast. They've got Antonio Brown, pretty fast for a running back. Yeah, I mean, like, former college wide receiver, Antonio Gibson really is what he was. That's a lot of speed for a quarterback that, by the way, loves to chuck it deep, loves to play YOLO football, doesn't care. And by the way, and he'll throw it into traffic, you know.
I know what I saw with the Jets when there were any expectations. He just always fails. When there's nothing to lose, he's awesome. Like last year in Miami. Oh, great year. Now there's pressure on him. We'll see.
Ryan Fitzpatrick made seven starts last year. for the Dolphins.
He was good.
19.9 fantasy points per game would have been QB11 last year on a points per game basis. And I would argue strongly that Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson of the backfield is a much more talented group of pass catchers than he had in Miami last year, or than he even had with the Jets, all due respect to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
Wow, he's referencing Jets from 5 years ago. That's why this guy's the best. All right, real quick, we'll end on a Jets question. Where are you on Corey Davis and then the rookie Elijah Moore?
Really like both guys as late-round flyers. I think if I had to, quote, start one week one, it's Corey Davis. I think he's got a high floor. He's going to get a ton of targets. Look, yeah. The Jets are going to be a team that, you know, it's a rebuilding year. If I was a Jets fan, Jason, if I was a Jets fan like you, I would be optimistic. Because, like, I think for the first time in a long time, you guys are headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in Joe Douglas. I love what you guys did in the draft. I like what you guys have, the moves you guys have made. Like, a lot of work still to be done, but you're headed in the right direction and you're starting to get some pieces together. So I like all of that. So I like Corey Davis, who's a talented wide receiver, former first-round pick. Took a while for his career to get going, but he's good. He's going to get a ton of targets. Look, and
love the optimism.
You know better than me. Like, find yourself somebody who looks at you the way the press is looking at Elijah Moore these days.
Because
the camp reports on this guy, the buzz from former players, from other players, from coaches, from media that are just saying, like, every single day, this guy is like,
yeah, they're kicking Denzel Mims to the curb already. He's always injured. The guy's always hurt. The kid they got out of Baylor. Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, I think it's Crowder in the slot and Moore and Corey Davis on the outside in three wide sets for the Jets. And I think they're going to be throwing a lot. So yeah, I do like Elijah Moore as a late round flyer this year.
The Mormon
certainly
Mahomes
needs to be one of the first picks in Dynasty.
Yes, what? Definitely. The Mormon Mahomes, Zach Wilson. Yeah, I think he's going to be decent. I'm getting too much into the Jets. All right, Matthew Berry, follow him. Rotopass.com, ESPN, love, hate, everything. I mean, he's a legend. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Yeah. Anything else you want to plug?
I'll give you one other thing. Yeah, I'll plug another thing because I know you do. Are you? And I'd love for you to check this out, Jason, just my friend and somebody who I respect. I have that Fantasy Life app, right?
Oh.
Well, so I have the Fantasy Life app. It's free. The alerts are amazing. Download it 100% free. You should check it out. It's in app stores. You know, we're at 5 stars on the on all the app stores.
Fantasy Life. There it is. Yeah, I just
Fantasy
it up.
Life app. Look at the reviews. Like, best alerts in the business. We are super fast. Crazy fast alerts. Anyway, we sold the company this year. I'm still involved with the company, but we sold it this year to a company called BetSperts, which is a social network for gambling.
How much ownership did you have in the app?
I had a decent amount.
Congratulations, man. Look at that. Talking about revenue streams.
Yeah, it's right. It's worked out well, and I'm really excited about being part of the BetSperts team and helping promote that. But anyway, BetSperts, Jason, for someone like yourself who's, you know, obviously way into sports gambling, I think it's interesting. It's a social network for sports gamblers as well. And you can track your picks. You can track other people's picks. Like, if you made if you wanted to make a profile, they can track your picks, and see, like, and you can dial down. Like, let's say you're like, all you really want to do is bet WNBA first half over under.
Okay.
Like, that's all I want to bet.
Yeah.
Well, you can go on the app and you can find, like, who's the best person. Cause we don't allow anyone to change their picks. Like, it's locked in. I know that some other apps have allowed that to happen. We do not do that. Like, you make your pick. It's locked in. Your record is your record.
Yeah.
And it's really dialed down. So you can see, like, who's the best person for WNBA first half over unders, you know? So anyway, if you're interested in sports gambling, highly recommend BetSports. Also a free app, 100% free app, but
I just grabbed it, dude.
I'm involved with those two guys, those companies. So.
Thanks a lot, man. All right. You enjoy the football season. I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point, Matthew.
Jason, sounds good. Take care.